the Specials podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Specials podcast, A or B, depending on which one you've listened to first. We've got the Spotty podcast out there as well with Reality Rob Dixon, Dave Kellner and myself talking about all things BBC sports personality. But it is the Strictly Come Dancing final this weekend. Delighted to say that Andy Holding's in the studio. Hello, Andy.
Hi, boys. How are we doing?
I'm very good, thank you. And Rob's back on the line. Hey, Rob.
Hi, mate.
We are talking about this final of this dance competition then. We've done and dusted with X Factor, of course, with Louisa winning, as expected. Let me give you the prices for the outrights, as we do every week. It hasn't changed an awful lot, to be honest. We've also got top female, top male, top three finish, the weekly specials, and the next elimination. Jay McGuinness is now the 1-5 favourite, despite the fact that he's not doing the dance that we thought he would as his showcase dance. Georgia May Foot, 11-2. 9-1 Kelly Bright, 18-1 Katie Derham. We don't do straight forecasts in this because we're never told who finishes second and third. We just know who wins the show. But as I just mentioned there, we have got the next elimination, which effectively gives you the 1-2-3. 4-6 that Katie Derham goes first. 6-4 it's Kelly Bright. 8-1 Georgia May Foot. 33-1 Jay McGuinness. Let's start, Andy, with the big shock news this week, really. That dance that from week three, we've been saying that he'll bring out that jive, Jay, and he'll romp home with it. No.
Yeah, absolute head-scratcher, to be honest. Listen to Jay and Aliona's reasons for it on one of the breakfast programmes, suggesting that they couldn't possibly better it. They felt as though that was the night that everything, all the stars aligned.
That's the point,
it was the perfect storm. Yeah, and there'd be too much pressure going into the final. They'd feel the pressure of doing a great job, that it might skew their performances.
And what's pressure for?
Well, exactly.
Tires.
Yeah, tires, yeah. I'm surprised by that. You know, I think a lot of viewers out there are almost desperate to see it again. I think what you will find, they will incorporate some of their jive into the show dance.
Right.
I think listening to Aliona and looking at her choreography this week, what she's going to do, she's going to do bits like an amalgamation of all their best dances.
Interesting.
So there will be an element of jive in that show dance, which kind of like gives the viewers a little bit to hang their hat on. But yeah, that's probably the biggest surprise of the whole weekend.
Yeah. Last week, just looking back to last week, when of course we lost Anita and Cleb, I was really surprised to see Kelly and Kevin top scoring across the two dances. It's been a strange old series, hasn't it?
It's been
while Jay's sat up there on the pedestal that the bookies give him at 1-5, there's all this to-ing and fro-ing going on behind him.
Well, I've said it from virtually the first show. I can't understand why other bookmakers other than Rob haven't bet on this, because I think the first 4 or 5 weeks we pretty much got it absolutely bang on. We were getting the high scores right. We were getting the who's going to go right. I think there's only one week where we got it wrong in about the first 6 or 7 weeks. But since Blackpool and since the last 5 or 6 of the top dancers have been left in, it's almost been virtually impossible to work out what's going in. There's obviously been one or two talks behind the scenes of maybe the producers having a massive influence on the judging and who goes through and what week they go out.
Yep.
There's a little bit of a controversy even last week with, of course, Anita against Katie and Anton in the final dance-off. I actually thought that they should have stayed in. I think they've been the best couple all the way through. And they kind of contradicted themselves, didn't they, the judges? They gave the dance, the best dance or the best dance-off dance to Katie and Anton. But they didn't do that when Peter Andre was around.
Exactly.
And they almost based a lot of their previous form, if you like, on who should go through to the next week.
And it's what we see in X Factor a lot of the time, isn't it, where they switch their reasoning round from week to week to suit how they want it to go, which is a bit of a surprise, I think. Yeah. As for the final, we haven't got all the dances outlined yet, have we, for the final? But we know a lot of what the four finalists are doing. How does this come down for you, Rob? I mean, have you seen much more money for Jay? I mean, that price seems to be getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah, we saw as soon as Louisa won X Factor on last Sunday, we knew we'd be in a position where there's quite a lot of sort of liabilities going on to Jay. And we saw quite a bit of people who'd got their X Factor money back and were basically staking it back onto another 1-5 shot. And he went as short as 1-7, 1-8 on Monday. Obviously, the Jive news has put him back into... putting back into the group, I think. I can't have this 1-5 on the fact that he's 1-5 based on a performance that we saw 2 months ago, but we're not seeing him in the final.
Mm.
The momentum is with the three girls. Kelly and Katie have somehow managed to survive.
Well, that's the problem, though. That's exactly the problem there, what you say. We want to oppose Jay at this stage if you're just coming into the final and you haven't had a bet, or you want to have another bet, but we don't know which of the three girls to go with. You know, all the way along, we thought it was Georgia, didn't we, Andy? And you know, you've been but she just seems to have gone off. She almost peaked a little early. Is it the case that any one of these three could win?
No.
The girls?
No. I think it's a straight fight between... Kelly and Georgia. I don't think there's any chance at Kelly.
I think the problem with the girls is also that you're going to have them taking votes off each other. I don't think there's the problem that you've got now is there's not really one. Georgia's probably the best, but there's not one real standout girl to oppose him. So.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I don't really care because I back both of them to be top girl. I back Kelly at 8 and I back Georgia at
5-10.
As long as it's not Katie, I've copped it. So. On that point of view, I suppose I'm unbiased, but it should be, in effect, Georgia. I think Georgia has been the best girl dancer all the way through the series. That doesn't mean necessarily that she will get the votes as and when it's needed. And of course, it all depends on who does well in the show dance.
Yep.
It's the dance that we don't know the impact effect, do we? We don't know how big of an impact. No. I think the least effective will be Katie and Anton, because they can't do the kind of lifts and the real show spectacular routines that the other two can.
Yeah.
We know that Kelly's really good out of hold. You know, Kevin could throw her around, and it's the same with Giovanni and Georgia as well. But we know that theirs is very much going to be ballroom based. They're almost going to be doing bits of foxtrots, bits of American smooths. So it's going to be a totally different feel to it. Whether that's going to have the same impact, we know that Kelly's going to be doing a Lindy Hop number. Fast, energetic, hugely impacting on the eye. So that's one of the reasons why I do think the 4-6 is probably worth taking if you're looking for one big lumpy bet and you're not in a great position or you haven't had any financial interests up until now.
Away from the show dance, you've got Kelly and Kevin doing the Charleston to Star Wars Cantina Band, which is very apt at this weekend, of course.
Yeah.
Georgia and Giovanni are doing the Charleston to Hot Honey Rag from Chicago. Jay and Aliona, Pasadobla to It's My Life by Bon Jovi. And Katie and Anton have chosen, surprise, surprise, Avini's Waltz to If I Can Dream by Elvis Presley.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at Kelly and Kevin. I mean, she dresses up as... What's the big female with the buns?
Princess Leia.
Princess Leia. Yeah. She dresses up as Princess Leia. They've got the lightsabers in there. They've got all the cane work and stuff like that. It was a very, very good dance. She got well praised when she did it early on in the series. I think it's the setup between Georgia and Kelly to who will come down and finish second. The momentum is definitely with Kelly. She had an unbelievable week last week. Who knew? 73 points. Dance the lights out. They even give her the pimp spot as well. They almost wanted her to get into the final. She didn't miss the mark either. Got great praise off all the judges. And because of the likability factor as well with Kevin, I mean, he's been in the final for the last 3 years now.
Yeah, true.
It wouldn't surprise me if those two actually ended up finishing second and perhaps rob a few quid.
Mm. Interesting. Rob, any more thoughts on who finishes fourth and who wins it?
Yeah, I think fourth. I think maybe it's just the end for Katie and Anton. I think there might have been a bit of a plan to get Anton into this final and things like that. And I'm still struggling to see how they survived last week, to be quite honest. But I think they're finished fourth. From there, I think it probably goes according to plan. I can't really see that George has done enough, especially in the last few weeks, to challenge Jay. I think Jay wins despite the fact that the price, I wouldn't touch the 1-5 with your money. So, I think from there it's pretty much sort of go. But, I mean, you've seen these things before. You've seen favourites beaten before. I don't even think Caroline Flack was a favourite going into last year's show, though Andy might correct me.
No, she wasn't.
No, so, I mean, favourites do get beaten, certainly odds on. odds on, so we will just have to wait and hope, I'm afraid. But I think it's definitely Jays to lose more than the others to win now.
There's a couple of final specials. Craig Revel-Horwood to not award a 10, and all four finalists to score a perfect 40. They're 4-1 and 6-1 respectively. Haven't really got any strong feelings.
Well, I would have been interested if he would have just given a 40 score. What price would there be a 40? I think it's an absolute certainty to be a 40.
But 20 all, on, I think.
Yeah, all four finalists to score a perfect 40. I mean, that's never going to happen. I mean, 6-1 up. I wouldn't back that with counterfeit money. And the other one's the same as well. I mean, Craig Revel-Horwood, funny enough, hasn't given a 10 all series. And here's an interesting stat as well. He's never given Kevin a 10.
Really?
In the whole history of the show. He's never give Kevin a 10.
Wow. That's an amazing stat. Brilliant.
He's considering he's got to allow three sides.
I know, yeah. He's never given him a 10. And I knew that last night. Well, I didn't know it, but obviously I watched It Takes Two last night.
Yeah. Andy, thanks for all your time this series.
Yeah, it's been good. Very enjoyable. It's been very enjoyable. High praise to Rob for at least betting on it for the majority of the series. And hopefully next year, because of the complex nature of Strictly Come Dancing and the difficult to predict nature of it during the back end of the series, hopefully we'll get a few more bookmakers on board next year.
Rob, thank you for your time on Strictly this year. We're going to talk about Christmas specials, aren't we?
We are, I believe, yes.
But thank you to Andy for all his hard work this series, and we'll see you next year. Enjoy the final, Andy.
Yeah, look forward to it. It should be great.
So, Christmas specials. It's like a tradition, almost like Christmas tradition on the specials podcast with Rob and myself. We like these markets, Rob. Top single, top book, top video game. We're not doing top toy because, you know, they've stopped giving Rob the wherewithal to do it at, was it Hamlet's? You usually get your
Hamlet.
Stuff from. Top TV programme.
I've been banned from Hamlet.
Top TV programme is my favourite. So we'll go through a few of these markets. The big news here is that the NHS choir in the number one single betting has gone odds on. You can thank me later when you give me the selection box, Rob. I was telling you about this the other day, wasn't it? I thought it was about 8-1. You got 60, didn't you?
Yeah.
Beauty. I said this is a Facebook campaign that's been on the go for a few months now, and obviously has gathered some momentum. These new prices, Rob, with the NHS choir at 8-13, Justin Bieber at 13-8, One Direction at 14-1, Star Wars theme 14-1. We don't get to the X Factor winner until 16-1. This is because the midweeks are out. Is that right?
Midweek. So the charts now, for people who don't really know, the charts got moved. It used to be the old Sunday night chart, but the charts are officially announced now on Fridays. So obviously for Christmas, for people thinking that this is going to be the Christmas number one, the actual Christmas number one doesn't now get announced until next Friday. So
Christmas Day.
A few more days to wait.
Is it Christmas Day next Friday?
It is Christmas Day, yeah.
So it gets announced on Christmas Day?
It does get announced
on
Christmas Day.
That's brilliant, isn't it? That is proper tradition.
That is smart.
That's how I like it.
I'm
all over that. I like that as well.
A bit of top of the pops after the Queen's speech, and let's see who's got number one, hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully there'll be a full set of doctors and nurses singing.
Yes, indeed. So, I mean, it is amazing, though, that the X Factor is 16-1, isn't it?
The problem with the X Factor is they tended not to want to go head to head in their final with Strictly. So X Factor we've seen it a couple of years now where the X Factor have released their song a week earlier. So while Louisa might have a chance of sort of number one this year, I think she'll be this week, then she'll be struggling, I think, for next week with them, and that's sort of reflected in the price.
Yeah,
4-6 she was after a winning performance last Sunday.
Interesting. Let's move on then. That looks like Bieber's the big one there. He's had three songs in the top 10 for ages. You know, I suppose he's the only one whose value there, I guess. But you'd imagine by now that everyone who's bought his downloaded his single or bought it or whatever the kids are doing these days has already got it.
I don't think the Star Wars theme is without a chance still.
Obviously, need a lot of downloads, wouldn't it?
No, it's going to be done through downloads. They've got 400,000 likes on their Facebook campaign. Now, if that equates to everybody going out and buying it, then it wins hands down. But
true.
even if they got sort of half that, you could see them probably still getting second place. I think I'd probably rather back them than One Direction, which was the big move yesterday.
Yeah.
And even Justin Bieber, I think Star Wars will end up getting second.
Do you think so?
Again, the choir.
Well, interesting. What should we move on to next? Let's have a look at the number one book very quickly. Guinness Book of World Records 2016, Even Money. Oh, that holds a special place in my heart. I used to get one of them every Christmas when I was a kid. And we've bought our daughter one. I hope she doesn't listen to this.
It's a grandmother. I doubt she will. Always a sort of standing dish in our house that my grandma used to
don't eat it.
Guinness Book of Records every year.
No one's saying to eat it, Rob. That's crazy talk.
I don't think you'd eat it.
You said it was a standard dish. Is that not what you meant?
Standing dish.
Oh, standing dish. Well, it's a standard. No, it's a. Why is that favourite? I mean, it's not usually the favourite, though, is it? I mean, I don't remember in past years.
The Nielsen book scan tends to work off quite a different. They do quite a lot of online orders, mm-hmm. so it right. tends to all work. It's one. I think it's won two out of the last 3 years.
Oh, has it?
It ended up winning last year, different to the Waterstones one. But just be careful because some firms bet on the Waterstones one.
Yeah,
some firms bet on the Nielsen book scan.
I see.
You could have two different results.
Indeed, yeah, that is a little tricky, isn't it? To be fair, and it wasn't the easiest thing in the world to find the chart for this one either.
No.
You know what I mean? So you go on the public. If you go on publishersweekly.com, you see the top 10 overall. That's what Rob's talking about. Be careful of what you're looking at here, because at the moment, you know, you look at what's actually top in the top 10. It's, you won't find that the Guinness Book of World Records. So just tread carefully with that one. Christmas TV program. This is the one we like, isn't it? We've had varying success over the years with this market. We're going to have another stab at it this time, though. Why not? The favourite this year is Mrs. Brown's Boys. 10 to 11, Rob. It's a shorty, that one. Won last year, 9.69 million viewers, which was down quite substantially on the previous year.
Again, last year was a big issue.
What won last year, then?
Well, last year, we paid out both with Mrs. Brown's Boys and the Queen's Speech, because we only quoted the Queen's Speech. We didn't quote the individual stations it was on.
So, yes, yeah. But you know, given that, normally you would quote it as being ITV or BBC, wouldn't you, as you have done. But it was the single most watched TV programme on any channel, wasn't it?
So we ended up paying out on both, because we're nice about that.
Yeah, that's very good of you. Interestingly enough, I was just looking at the figures last year, Rob, and notwithstanding that anomaly with the Queen's Speech, the BBC One had the top 10 most watched programmes on Christmas Day last year. The 11th was on BBC Two. ITV didn't rank even above Top Gear on BBC Two, which polled in about 7.38 million viewers. So, you know, when you look at this market, you need to be looking at the BBC. Before we get into the betting, though, you know, let's just have a quick look at what we've got on the actual day. So, you know, here's how it looks. Mrs. Brown's Boys, which is a 10 to 11 favourite. If you look at the actual the day's viewing, it's not on until quite late, this is it, Rob? Mrs.
No.
Brown's Boys. It goes on. It's usually plonked after. We won with this bet about 2 years ago when it was on after EastEnders. So it starts at 9:45 p.m. after the EastEnders episode on Christmas Day, which, by the way, is 4-1. Now, Downton Abbey is on ITV, of course. That starts at 8:45 and runs through till 10:45. So this was our thinking way back 2 years ago when we landed a decent bet on Mrs. Brown's Boys. You're either a BBC One viewer or you're an ITV viewer. That's what it is these days. So what's going to happen is, especially with the advent of Sky Plus, if you've got BBC One on and you're an EastEnders viewer, you're not going to change channel. You're going to record. You're going to watch EastEnders and watch Mrs. Brown's Boys, bearing in mind they're in the top echelons every single year for this market, and you're going to record Downton Abbey because that cuts across both of them. I don't think you record EastEnders and Mrs. Brown's Boys and watch Downton Abbey.
No, I agree with you. I just don't think you nailed the stats a few minutes ago that top 10 things watched last year were on BBC. I think people just tend to keep BBC on in the background.
Yeah, I fall asleep, whatever. I don't even think people watch all these shows. They just fall asleep.
It's quite a big EastEnders storyline.
Downton Abbey's not had over 7 million viewers, you know, for a while. I think it's a bad second fab, that.
The only thing with Downton Abbey is it's the final ever Downton Abbey.
Yeah, but so what? People are bored of it now, aren't they?
That's factored factored in sort of how short it is. I wouldn't, if it had just been a normal Downton Abbey episode, then you'd have been looking at sort of double figures. But
now, I mean, Mrs. Brown's Boys has been winning this market since 2012, hasn't it? It's been right up there. You know, the other big shows that have been doing year in, year out is Miranda, which isn't in the reckoning this. Call the Midwife does well. To be fair, Call the Midwife always does, you know, pretty well in these markets. Yeah. And that's what's that priced up at 14-1, isn't it? I think it is.
I mean, Mrs. Brown's Boys, it's the sort of thing that you can watch with the family. That the humour sort of goes through sort of generations of people, so you can watch it with the family, and you're not, stuff like Downton Abbey, you tend to have to follow the storyline, and you've had to watch episodes before leading up to it. Mrs. Brown's Boy is just a one-off show, isn't it?
So
it's a lot easier on the eye. Plus, sort of 9:45, people are still sort of drinking, watching telly. They're probably too drunk even to change the channel these days. So
Fair enough. Yeah, I can understand that. look, you know, on the Call the Midwife has kind of consistently been just behind Mrs. Brown's Boys, year in, year out. We're talking a million or two behind. Last year, it was very close, actually, between the two of them. Again, be careful on what figures you're using here, because this is judged on the overnight figures from Barb, isn't it? Broadcasters Audience Research Board. This is the overnight figures, Rob, isn't it?
Yeah.
As opposed to the 7-day data. So you're looking at the overnights only. And that doesn't include the Sky Plus figures generally. So just have a real good check of what you're getting here. But last year, for instance, Mrs. Brown's Boys polled 9.69. This is on the 7-day data, and 9.41 for Call the Midwife. So not much between those two. I'm going to go this year for Call the Midwife at 14-1. I think that how Downton Abbey is 7-2. And Call the Midwife is 14-1. There's no way the Queen's Christmas speech on the BBC can be more popular than Call the Midwife. That is impossible. I'm not having that at all. Can't happen. The Queen's Christmas speech last year on BBC got 5.97 million viewers. Call the Midwife got 9.41 million viewers. It's just not... Give me a match bet. I'll have a match bet right now. No, I'll go double or quits on the selection box. That the Queen's speech gets less viewers on the BBC than Call the Midwife does.
No, because I agree with you.
Why have you got them the other? Why have you got them short then?
Because the Queen's speech is always, it's one of these. We've played quite a lot of this already.
What? Don't they look at the figures? Are they idiots?
I don't look at the figures. You're probably not overly preaching to me about it.
Why are they? I'm not going to go at you. Why are people putting money on something when it's plainly wrong?
Let's do something controversial on our last podcast.
No, it's not.
I'll give you some account details. Let's bring up some clients. let's break all data control.
That is absolutely crazy, Rob. I can't believe that. People are putting... That's outrageous. That's just... All they have to do is type in BARB and look at the figures from the last decade.
Because it won last year at 100-1, people are going, well, it's got to win again. It's 100-1. Bookmakers are stupid.
But that was an error. That was an error, wasn't it? So, you know...
It wasn't an error. It's never been done before. Maybe it's never won before. It's even combined, BBC and ITV, has never won.
Yeah, but you were combining it across across more than two channels, with Sky as well.
No, it's only BBC and ITV.
Sky Show, I think, aren't they?
Sky Show, Sky get about 100 people watching it. Fair on Sky. Why would you watch it on Sky? Why would you watch it on Sky if it's on BBC or ITV?
Well, some people just might like Sky, I guess. I don't really know.
Breaking into Sky Sport. Nobody watches
Sky. Isn't it pay-per-view, the Queen's Speech pay-per-view? Don't they do that now?
It's not even worth it.
I love it. Right, so the reason for that, very quickly, just to finish that off, is the Queen's speech on ITV last year. We'd have to have a chat about this off air, because that Queen's speech on ITV last year, Rob, didn't even rank in the top 30.
No, it didn't need to. BBC one was high enough.
The BBC got 5.97 million viewers.
Yeah.
Mrs. Brown's Boys got 9.69.
No, the overnights, I think, were different.
Really? That much
sure
different?
It changed a lot.
We ended up
playing. I never wanted to play. You know me.
You started at the beginning saying how nice you were. So, that being that, that it, because of the brackets, BBC ITV, that's not happened this year. I think Call the Midwife is a knocking bet. It might not win, I'll give you that, you know, but I'd rather back that at a bigger price. At 16 or 14, they said? 14-1 rather than 10-11 for Mrs. Brown's Boys. Notwithstanding the fact that if people do just leave the TVs on, then they might just get the Call the Midwife viewers. We'll roll into EastEnders. We'll roll into Mrs. Brown's Boys. So 10 to 11 on that one. Have a little saver on the big price. And I think we're all happy, Rob.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
I'm happy with that. Can I just mention a couple of other things?
No, we're out of time.
I've got one thing I need to mention.
Of course you can, yeah.
Sunday night after thingy is the final of The Apprentice and we have prices on the final.
Wow. Well, why isn't it? I thought it was recorded.
It is recorded. Well,
it's brave of you.
Yeah, well, we won a bit of money on the Bake Off, didn't we? So let's do it again. Joseph, 2-5, Varner, 7-4.
Yeah, but what's remind me of Varner's surname? I forget Varner's surname.
Oh, Varner Kutsumatis.
Good effort. Okay. So 2-5. So in a program that's pre-recorded, we've got a 2-5 favourite.
Okay. They don't know. Very, very, very tight, stringent.
We've got another cameo here.
That wins as well. That wins as well, Rob. 2-5.
Does it?
2-5 shot, yeah.
DK's a massive Apprentice
love
fan.
Love The Apprentice. Right? That's
very,
a good bet.
Very impressive in the...
That's a good bet, that 2-5. I just don't see Lord Alan Sugar taking a chance with Varner, given that he's going to have to pump more money into that project.
Well, the 250 grand for Varner. I mean, the people who didn't watch it, Varner's project is basically a dating app, which there may be a few of those around already. This one allows you to basically do a crossword with the person before you want to go out with them. I'm not overly convinced that...
He will not go for that because it will cost too much to monetize it.
Definitely.
So I think Joseph is actually a good bet there as far as odds on shots go.
Don't you want to talk about the Royal Rumble, Rob?
No, interest in it.
Look, there's loads of markets here. Are we going to do anything over Christmas, or is this it for the...
Lee, I think we should now finish with a song of your choosing.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put people through that. There's enough singing at the start of this. One of the markets worth a look, and do your own research on this, guys, is most Twitter followers by the end of 2016. Katy Perry 1-2, Justin Bieber 4-1. I tell you what, if we start a little campaign with the Beliebers, I reckon we can get that 4-1 as a winner
You've
well.
You've got William Hill betting there at 500-1. Where's reality _Rob?
Do you know what? I didn't. This market was done while I was off, and I did ask them and said, why am I not on there? But apparently I'm not big enough. My 1,838 followers isn't enough to get on the shortlist, I'm afraid.
I'm just checking. I did that. I made that claim without checking the stats. We're looking at 71.6 million versus 79.2 million for Katy Perry. So she's only 3 million ahead.
With Bieber? No, you've got your maths wrong there.
What did I say?
I think you said she's 3 million ahead. I think it was 71 to 79.
Oh, I thought it was 76,
it?
Sorry. Yeah. We're well off then. We might need a bit more of a campaign than that. Yeah, you're right.
It's so 8 million. Nightmare, Lee, isn't
8 million.
So,
8 million? No,
you've been so
forget
professional
that.
The whole year.
Forget that. It's Christmas. I've been on the sherry. What can I say? We've got to do a football podcast now, Rob.
Yeah, we've got a real podcast to do.
Proper podcast. I'll leave you in peace.
Thanks, Rob.
Yes, thank you very much, Rob, for all your work this year. It's been an absolute joy. I will just finish off one thing, Rob, very quickly. A big shout out to this chap. Actually, it might be a woman. I'm guessing here. Oxtail Soup, 1967, on Twitter, tweeted me saying, "Lee, the Specials podcast is by far your best. I love it. Thank you." You can take a bit of that, Rob.
Well, what can I say?
Take that to the bank.
What can I genuinely say to that?
Cheers, Rob.
Thanks, Mum.
Reality Rob Dixon. Thanks to Andy Holden. Thanks to Daniel Gould from SofaBet over the last few weeks. Thanks to DK and anyone else who's been on the podcast this year. We're back in 2016. Good luck with all your bets and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.